Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you're going to stand, that's a pretty good place to stand. It's on the promises of God. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Open it to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to look there in Exodus chapter 3 and then some verses in chapter 4. And who knows where else we may wind up before we're all done, all right? But Exodus chapter 3 there in the Bible. Look down, if you will, in verse 10. The Bible says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" God speaking here in verse 10 to Moses and said, "Moses, got a job for you." And Moses did what the Bible says in the New Testament, says they all with one consent began to make excuse. Back in the 70s or maybe the early 80s, I'm not sure which, there was a song that came out that really it was kind of funny, but it was backed by a lot of truth. And it had a line that said, "Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day," all right? And the rest of it said, "The devil will supply you," all right? And the devil, he can come up with those excuses. And the trouble is, we've all heard them. We've all heard them. And unfortunately, most of us have used them, all right? We've used excuses. We've come up with excuses. We're pretty good excuse makers. Making excuses, though, is not a new practice, not anything new. People been doing it for 18 years. Moses had excuses like most people do when God calls. And so he did have them. His excuses, they're like the ones people use today. And we're just going to kind of look at them a little bit, you know. Folks still try to use the same lame excuses for not obeying God, for not following his call, for not surrendering his will. We still see it. And so we see that regularly. It hasn't changed. But on the other hand, God's answer is also still the same. It's still sufficient, and it's still sent forth to us. And we're going to look at it tonight, all right? We're going to look at four excuses that Moses used, all right? And most of the excuses we come up with can be snuggled into one of these categories somewhere, all right? So if you would just look with me at it. First of all, I want you to see the first excuse he used. God called him and spoke to him, and Moses said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" He said, really, what he's saying, look, I'm just a nobody. I am just a nobody. And so who am I that God should choose me to serve him? I immediately think of Gideon. You check out Gideon in Judges chapter 6, about verse 15. You'll see God spoke to Gideon. God came down to him, and he was, you know, in the wine press threshing out wheat. But God showed up to him. And when he called him, Gideon basically said, "Hey, I'm the runt member from the runt tribe of the runt nation in the world." You said, "Preacher, I've read that. I don't remember it being like that." Well, that's the Hebrew, all right? If you check the Hebrew out in deep, you'll see that that's basically what he said. Hey, basically, he was making an excuse. He said, "I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. I don't have a pedigree, all right? No one knows me. No one knows me. I'm not from a well-known family. Really, no family, no fame, no fortune, no following. I'm a nobody." You ever felt that way when God gave you an answer, a call and chose you? Who am I? Who am I? Look, I can relate to what Moses said. Who am I that I should be used? Because I'm just not anybody. Here I am. Nobody knows me. Well, wait a minute. Can I say to you? Look what God said to him. All right? Look what God said to him in verse 12. Here's God's answer to that. His answer was right there. "Certainly, I will be with thee. I will be with thee." Look, you say, "I'm a nobody." It's okay. He can make you somebody. And by the way, you really don't have to be somebody in the eyes of this world for God to use you. You don't have to be somebody. You don't have to be a big name. You don't have to be, a star. You don't have to be a celebrity. The truth of the matter is, if you check it out, all through the Scriptures, you don't find God choosing the celebrities. You just don't. It doesn't happen very often. It's not the celebrities. I remember working with teenagers and thinking, boy, if we could just get the captain of the football team. But the truth of the matter is, it wouldn't have changed a thing in the world. I've said it before many times, in working with teenagers, they're the person in my experience, and all the years I worked with teenagers, the person that brought the most teenagers to church was as insignificant person as you'd ever want to find. It was a girl. She wasn't beautiful. Since I won't name her name, she's a little bit on the homely side. She didn't have a magnetic personality. She wasn't vivacious. How did she do it? I, all through the years, I'm pretty sure the way she did it was this. She asked. She just asked people to come. And through the years, that one teenager has been the one that brought the most. Not a well-known person. I could have went to her school and brought up her name, and I'm sure a lot of people would have said, who? But man, she just labored. Hey, God doesn't pick the biggest, the toughest, the best looking, all right? The Mr. Personality, or Mr. Personality. No, he picks who he wants to, and then he says, don't worry about it, I'll be with you. Well, I'm a nobody. It's okay, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I can make you somebody, all right? He knows what he's getting when he picks. Hey, by the way, when he calls you, he knows what he's getting. He knows what he's getting. When he called me, he knew what he was getting. I mean, there wasn't any doubt about it. He knew. And our job is not to think, well, I'm a nobody. Hey, you need to remember what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Moses said, hey, I'm a nobody. God said, don't worry about it. I'll be with thee. So God took care of Moses there, all right? Look, if you will, in chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Hey, just stay with me for a moment. Does that sound like a pretty good excuse? It does, doesn't it? Here's a guy that said, I'm a nobody. Now, you could argue, so, well, now, wait a minute. He grew up in Pharaoh's house, but it's been 40 years. It's been 40 years since he's been there. There's another Pharaoh. So 40 years since he's been in that place. So he's got a pretty good argument when he says, here I am, a nobody, and they're not going to believe me nor hearken unto my voice. They're going to say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Pretty good argument, except chapter 3, verse 18. Would you look at chapter 3, verse 18? And there's God speaking, and he says, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our king. Look at verse 18 again, the first part. Notice it says, and they shall hearken to thy voice. Then you get to chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses said, they won't hear me. Now, you see what's going on? Basically, Moses just called God a liar. That's basically what he's done. He's just said, Lord, I know what you said, but what you said's not true. In spite of what God had just told him, Moses had the audacity to come up with that excuse. They won't hear me. Hey, listen, wait a minute. Now, we're not Moses, but how quickly we forget the promise of God. The promise of God. God's promised us, all right? Hey, we talk about going out witnessing, and people say, well, NOP won't listen to all that and give me that story. Wait a minute, though. God said, if you go, I'll go with you. If you go, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. But we forget the promise of God. The truth of the matter is, we do the same thing Moses did. We say no in spite of the Word of God. In spite of the Word of God. Now, what did God say to Moses? Keep it up, I'm going to kill you, fella. No, he didn't say that. But look what he did say to him. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? Now, look, there's sermons been preached on that phrase right there. And that's true. I'm not going to try to preach that sermon, but God's answer to Moses was, would you just look at what you've got in your hand? Can I say this? Boy, bless your heart, what you hold is more than you think. What you have is more than you think. When God calls people and God deals with people about serving Him and about obeying Him, listen, I'm not talking just to people that God calls into full-time service. I'm not talking about folks just called to the mission field. I'm talking about everyday, day-by-day Christian people, regular, normal members of the church that God says, hey, I've got a work for you to do. And He does have a work for us to do. People like that, our reaction is oftentimes we can't do it, I'm a nobody, or we say, wait a minute, they're not going to hear me, they won't listen. But God comes to us and He says, look, if you will, at what you've got in your hand. Look, you and I have got more than we think we do. And if we would just take and yield to God what we have, I think He can do with that. Take it and do so much more than we ever thought possible with it, all right? Just a little bit, so we don't have that much ability. Just give Him what you've got. Give Him what you've got. Don't worry about, well, I don't have as much as so-and-so over there. That's not the question. What do you have in your ability? What's in your hand? What are you able to do? Just take a look at it, all right? Well, in the case of that rod, man, it was throw it down, pick it up, hold it out, smite the rock. That rod teared the countryside there with Moses, and it was an amazing thing what God was able to do with Moses and that rod as Moses yielded it to Him. All he had to do, he's going to go before the Pharaoh. You're probably familiar with the account, and he throws it down, it turns into a snake. I don't remember I was teaching Sunday school or I don't know, maybe teaching my college class. I said, now the next command was where I would have gotten trouble. This one God said, pick it up. I said, whoa, wait a minute now, all right? I love snakes, dead snakes, all right? I mean, I'm not a snake person. I'm not like Brother Todd back there. He used to have a pet rattlesnake in his house, and I quit going to see him because, I was kidding about that. But I remember going over to his house, and he had that glass cage and that rattlesnake in there. And on occasion, the rattlesnake would get excited. And when he did, I did too. If I'd have been Moses and Moses said, throw it down, it'd become a snake. And then when God said, pick it up, he'd have had to speak louder because I'd have been running the other way. All right? Throw it down, I'd have been gone, you know. But he said, pick it up. And then later he's going to say, you stick out over those waters. God divided that water. He told him, Moses, you take that rod and you smite that rock and I'll bring forth water out of it. Why? He just used what Moses had. He just used. Now, you say, I don't have a rod. Okay. People would look at you funny if you carried a rod around with you all the time. All right? They would. But what do you have? What do you have that God can use? Our problem is we look at what we've got and we think it's not much. I can't help but wonder if old Moses, he said, Lord said, what have you got in hand? Well, just this rod. You know, I'm a shepherd, shepherd's crook. What's the deal? But you see, God was fixing to show Moses what you've got is more than you ever thought you had. It is more than you ever thought you had. And what you have in your hand is not to be discounted. What you hold, you see, I still believe God has equipped His people with more than they realize. We've got more. We've got more resources than we realize. There is more to us than just here I am and that's it. No, God's blessed you. God's blessed you. Take what God's done and given you. Develop it. Use it. Don't tell God, man, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. Don't do that. Don't call God a liar. Don't do that. Look maybe in chapter 4 again. Look down in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servants, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses is basically just saying, I can't. I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability. I'm not able to do that. Just a very simple thing. But wait a minute. Now, I said before, Moses called God a liar. Well, now Moses is lying. He said, well, how do you know that, preacher? I mean, what makes you think, what makes you say that he's lying? The Bible. Don't lose your place here in Exodus 4, but would you turn to Acts chapter 7? Would you turn over to Acts chapter 7 with me? Acts chapter 7, I'm going to look at one verse here. And the Bible over in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is preaching. And he brings up Moses, and in verse 22 of Acts chapter 7, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. He was mighty in words and in deeds. A learned man. What in the world are you saying? Why in the world would Moses stand there and say, look, I can't do that. I'm not eloquent. I'm not, you know, I'm a man of slow of speech and slow tongue. He was just not telling the truth. But that's us. We discount our abilities. And because we discount our abilities, we say, I don't have the ability to do it. I can't do it. I have found out people can do more than they think they can do. I'll be honest, I found out I can do more than I thought I could. There's a lot of things I've done that I never would have thought I could have done. We have more talent, we have more ability than we're willing to use oftentimes. We've just got it. Now we cover it up. We cover it up. We hide it. We deny it. We say it's not me. I can't. But it's there. It's there. People have those abilities. I heard somebody the other day talking about that they played. Oh, I know who it was. It was Brother Charles. Brother Charles said he played the cornet when he was in high school in the band. Now, I didn't know that. And somebody asked him, did he have it? He said, no, my brother hocked it. All right, my brother hocked it. I heard him. And I don't know which brother, so... He's got had several brothers. Don't choose one and think that had to be it. He had four different brothers, so one of them did it, I guess, you know. Well, you know, there's multitudes of Christians all across the country today that have musical instruments in the closet, in a garage somewhere, that they used to play. And they could get it out and, you know, work on their rusty ability and bring it back and use that to serve God. But we don't think we can. Somebody says, well, I can't talk. Yeah, we can. We can talk on the phone. We can talk to people about sports. We can talk to people about the latest sale at wherever, Kohl's or wherever you shop, all right? I don't know. But we can talk about that. But, oh, no, when it comes to talking about the Lord, I can't think of anything to say. Have you ever noticed how people give those kind of excuses? They're like Moses. Moses saying, I don't have the ability. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. We've got it. God's given it to us. And hey, I will say this. On the other hand, It's always been God's way that what he ever calls you to do, he enables you to do it. He enables you to do it. Look down, if you will, in verse 11 and verse 12 here in chapter 4. Verse 10, he's, you know, Moses saying, I can't, don't have the ability. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. He said, I'll teach you. I'll teach you. You know, for some strange reason, we get the idea, well, when God calls us, if I can't do everything I've ever thought about doing that would be necessary in that position, then I'm out. Well, did you ever think God could teach you? And he will. He will. He'll instruct you. That's the normal. We have to be taught. We have to be taught. That's the normal thing. We have to learn. Have to learn. When I first surrendered to preach, I wasn't much of a preacher. You say, nothing's changed. Well, I'm trying, though, all right? I'm trying. And trying to get better and working at it. And you keep trying to polish. Hey, as a Sunday school teacher, if you're teaching Sunday school, you ought to work every time to be better this week than you were last week. You ought to do a better job this time than you did last time. Think of new ways, new ideas. We ought to be looking for those things. God will teach us, and we'll let him do it. We'll let him do it. Just let him work in your life. Don't say, well, I don't have the ability. If God wants you, you've got the ability. You've got the ability. He'll give it to you. But then we look at verse 13. After everything Moses has said and God said to him, now therefore go, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Basically, Moses said, would you just get somebody else? Would you just get somebody else? Well, Dunbar, you ever had somebody basically tell you that when you were trying to get them to do something? I've had people do that. Just get somebody else. Get somebody else. And that's what Moses is saying to God. He just said, take it over. Hey, maybe that was his ultimate desire from the very beginning. Maybe that's really the ultimate desire that people have today. We won't say it out loud the way Moses did, but it's what we really actually want God to do. Just get somebody else to do that job. Just find another one. I want you to look at the next verse. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. The book says very plainly that that attitude angered God. Angered him. And he just kind of opened up on Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. God just said, okay, I'm going to work on that. Now I'm going to just let you have it. And in a sense, if you will, he gave Moses a little bit of what Moses wanted. But I believe you study the whole situation and the whole history from this time forth to the end of Moses' life. You might be able to say Moses is one of those guys that got what he wanted but didn't want what he got. Because, boy, you talk about somebody that caused problems for Moses, Aaron did. Was he a help? Yeah, he was a little bit of a help, but man, did he cause Moses problems. So how do you figure that, preacher? Well, one of the great problems with Aaron was he was more of a yes man. He was more of a guy that says, I'll go along to get along. And man, when Moses was up on the mount getting the law from God, the people came to Aaron and said, we don't know what's happened to him. You need to make us a god. And here's Aaron. Aaron, there's no word mentioned where he said, now, wait a minute. He said, all right, give me earrings. Give me earrings. And man, he fashioned that golden calf, caused the people to worship it, you know. what a problem he brought, not only upon Moses, but upon the whole children of Israel. Caused them problems. On another occasion, he sided together with his sister and basically opposed Moses and questioned, does God only speak to him? Caused him trouble. Caused him problems along the way. Hey, if God, you know, God gets somebody else to do what he wants you to do, where does that leave you? He may do you the way he did Moses. You continue to find excuses and say, I can't and I can't and I won't, and get somebody else. You may find yourself like Aaron or Moses. You'll find yourself with an Aaron. He's an helper, but he's trouble. Trouble along the way. Man, causes you problems that you have to deal with. And you wouldn't have had otherwise. But on the other hand, let's say God gives you that. You let somebody else do what God wants you to do. Where does that leave you? Now, maybe in a fit of fantasy, you'll say, well, right where I want to be. Out of the limelight and left alone. Just leave me alone. Let me just float along. Okay. But what are you going to miss out on? What are you going to miss out on? You ever think about that? I don't know if you've heard people testify to the fact that God called them and they turned God's call down. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody give that kind of testimony. But if you have, it's one of the saddest testimonies you'll ever hear. One of the saddest things you'll ever hear is somebody to say to you, God called me to do this or God called me to do that and I didn't do it. And, boy, things went downhill. I think of a young man that came to our church for a while, was going to Bible college, and, man, things, I don't really know where he got messed up, but he got out of serving God. The last thing I heard about him, he had been convicted of armed robbery and sent to prison. You know, if he'd have been serving God, that wouldn't have happened. Hadn't have decided, God, I can't do what you want me to do. Hey, what are you going to miss out on? What blessings are you going to forfeit? You ever think about that? What blessings are you going to forfeit simply because you would not say yes to God? Yes to Him. What reward are you going to lose? What reward will you lose? What kind of problems are going to bring in your life? Wouldn't have to be there. Wouldn't have to be there. I just want to tell you this. Since I surrendered to the will of God in my life, I've had no problems whatsoever. You don't believe that, do you? I hope you don't, because I've had problems. You say, well, what's the difference? I had the Lord's help to get me out of them. Because most of the problems I had, I got into. It was my fault, but God's there to help me get out of them. All right? And look, I'd rather be in the will of God and cause a problem than out of the will of God, and that is the cause of the problem. Much, much so. Here's Moses. Moses had an excuse. He had an excuse. Lord, really and truly, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Okay, Lord, okay. Look, they're not going to hear me. They won't listen to me. Okay, I've seen what you can do with that rod. But I still want you to know I don't have the ability. I just can't do it. I really can't. And the Lord then worked on him again. And finally, would you just get somebody else? Moses said, okay. I mean, God said, fine, Moses. You got Aaron. Here he comes. He's going to help you. Now get after it. And Moses did go. Can I say this? Excuses are a dime a dozen. We can always come up with an excuse if we want to do so. I don't care what it is. We can always come up with an excuse. But let's be honest and realize that we're so blessed to think God would use us. What a blessing. that he would just call us. What a blessing that he would let me do anything for him. That he would allow you to do anything for him. Man, let's not make excuses. Let's make tracks to obey him. Let's make tracks to yield to his will. Say, okay, Lord, I'm here. Instead of being the guy standing at the back of the line saying, pick somebody else. I hope you pick somebody else. How about standing there and say, Lord, would you use me? Would you let me be there? You let me do it? When I was a kid, this illustration, I've used it before. You said, I've heard it before. Good, you're fixing to hear it again. When I was a kid, second grade, we had moved to Florida when I was in the second grade. And in Florida, they did something in school that they did not do in school in Georgia in the second grade. In Florida, they had this strange idea that what we needed was physical education. In Georgia, they thought you'd get enough of it as a kid if they had just turned you loose on the playground. All right? But no, in Florida, it had to be organized. And when I got there, it was in the spring of the year, and we're going to play softball. I'd never hit a ball in my life. Okay, that's not true. There had been a few times we had played with a stick and a rubber ball, all right? But I wasn't good. I didn't like it. And I didn't like it then. And it wasn't long before the kids in Florida in my new school, out at Alva Elementary School, they knew he is a sorry ball player. So what happened? Well, it was time to pick teams. And, you know, have you ever seen this among kids? I realized real quick that they weren't going to pick me anytime soon. But I've watched kids in other times, and there's two people choosing teams, and this kid over here wants to be on that team. And so when it comes that time for that person to choose, he'll step up. And they'll pick somebody else, and he slides back in the background, kind of hides while this guy's picking. All right. And then when it's turned again, I'm back over here. Pick me. When I was a kid, it got down to me and the other kid. The other kid got picked, and then it was, okay, come on. Such enthusiasm. Such excitement. And it made me think, oh, boy, they want me so bad. No, I never thought that. I never did. But you know, I found out God wanted me. I found out he wanted me. You know, I can't help it, really. There came a time in my life where it was, God, would you pick me? Would you pick me? I wasn't one of those when God called, I wasn't running away. It was, here I am, Lord. If you'll call me, I'm willing. That ought to be our attitude. Why? There's blessings, there's a reward, and God will enable us to do what he chooses us for. You said, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Because God picked you, you can do it. He'll make it so you can. I'm a nobody. I'll be with you. Now, they won't listen to me. Look at what's in your hand. I can use what you've got. It's up to us to just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Let's try the attitude of Isaiah. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, just help us to see excuses. We're good at it. We're good at coming up with them. And sometimes we can almost convince ourselves they're true. But Lord, the truth is we can't convince you. You know the truth. You know what you could do with us if we'd just give ourselves to you. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see what a thrill it is to be used by God. Use us, Lord. Make us useful, usable vessels in your service. And Lord, help us to be willing. Help us to be like the clay in the potter's hands. Not fighting that, but yielding to him, yielding to you, as you mold us and make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's good to have you tonight. Glad you're here. You're dismissed. Don't forget to pick up the sword of the Lord.